This is Greg Peterson with the Colorado Ag Water Alliance, and today I'm speaking with Bill Hamrick, the Chief Executive Officer of the Colorado Livestock Association, and we'll be talking about water quality and Regulation 85. Thank you, Bill, for joining us.
Thank you for the invite, Greg.
So Regulation 85, or Reg 85, it was put into effect in the state of Colorado in 2012. What does Reg 85 do, and what led to its implementation?
Reg 85, I'm going to say controls, and that might not be the correct word, but it focuses on nitrogen and phosphorus from sources that, including agriculture, that ultimately may make its way into surface waters here in the state of Colorado. And as a result of those two nutrients, there may be others as well, those contribute to the production of chlorophyll, or probably, as some of us may know it better, the algae blooms that happen to show up. Similar for those that may be familiar with what happened in Lake Erie and the Toledo, Ohio water system here a number of years back.
Right. And so in 2012, what did Reg 85 stipulate in the state of Colorado specific to agriculture?
At that time, it identified agriculture as a source, and in some cases as a significant source and a major contributor to the problem. But I think at that time, one of the things that agriculture, in a positive way, got from this regulation is that anything at this point in time that agriculture may do is from a voluntary point of view in the implementation of practices that help reduce nitrogen and phosphorus, they may migrate to the surface waters of the state.
So right now, Colorado is a non-regulatory state when it comes to agriculture and non-point source nitrogen and phosphorus.
Yes, sir. Now, on the flip side of that, Greg, the point sources today, and primarily water treatment plants, they are under mandatory regs, if you will. Agriculture may ultimately get there. We're hoping that we can be proactive to prevent the implementation of mandatory regulation going forward. So we need to be very focused on this, have a very robust approach to those practices that agriculture can implement in an efficient and economic way and continue to operate under a voluntary basis.
So in this period of voluntary measures, I mean, you mentioned those practices or best management practices. What types of practices does that involve? And are there BMPs that are already being implemented throughout the state that are helping us accomplish this goal?
Greg, if I might, in the beginning, I thanked you for the invite this morning, but I would like to give a bit of a disclaimer here. I am not a farmer, and so and I don't pretend to be one, but in looking at those practices that I am familiar with, the no-till or the minimum till practices that are being, I think, widely adopted in row and crop agriculture here in Colorado have been proven to be very effective. For those folks that may drive around in rural Colorado and see pivot sprinklers operating, I think that, again, not being a farmer, but the use of those pivot sprinklers as opposed to what is flood irrigation, where the water is just diverted out of a ditch into a core gate, flows to the end of the field, carries a lot of sediment and nutrients with it. That is greatly reduced through the use of pivot sprinklers. So in my mind, and not being a farmer, I think the adoption of those pivot sprinklers has been a huge benefit to reducing both nitrogen and phosphorus migration. Nutrient management plans, referred to as NMPs, have been adopted for quite some time by CAFOs, who apply their waste to crop fields. That is required by the state of Colorado and the Water Quality Control Division through the Environmental Ag Program, but also the use of crop consultants by farmers throughout the state who help individual farmers critically manage the application of any nutrients that they do, and then cover crops. And I think that is kind of in an infancy at this point in time. I think it might be a bit difficult here in Colorado where we are challenged when it comes to normal rainfall as opposed to, say, farms and agriculture around the Mississippi River and east. And just a caveat here, Greg, my counterpart, the former executive officer at the Colorado Corn Growers Association, often said in various audiences that he felt there was a misconception about the application of nutrients, and that most farmers operated under the mantra that if a little is good, more is better. And I think Mark repeatedly made a good point over the years that nutrients are expensive, and at times, especially nitrogen. So it is in any farmer's best interest that those nutrients, specifically nitrogen, be applied very judiciously and not just a willy-nilly approach, if you will.
Yes. Well, and you mentioned CAFOs, confined animal feed operations, that they have to have a nutrient management plan. Is there any other practices that those types of operations are already putting into place?
Specifically about animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, as some folks refer to it. You know, if you are over a certain head count threshold here in Colorado, that is 1,000 cattle in the confined operation for beef cattle, you are required to capture any runoff from your production facility in a retention pond. So where this Reg 85, if you look at agriculture, pretty much in my opinion, is focused on crop agriculture. Mm-hmm. CAFOs don't escape from the standpoint that, as I mentioned a little bit ago, Greg, that apply, whether it be to their own cropland or in the case of where a third party may be involved, you are required to make sure that the waste is applied at agronomic rates or applied at a rate that is no greater than what the seasonal crop can uptake.
So we're in this voluntary period, best management practices, but in 2022, the Water Quality Control Commission is going to decide if we're going to continue voluntary measures or implementing regulation, and how the state of Colorado manages non-point source nitrogen and phosphorus. What is being done to illustrate the efforts being made in the agricultural community on behalf of all these voluntary practices to deal with nutrient management?
Greg, I think that probably at this point, and at least since 2012, which doesn't seem that long ago, but obviously if you do the math, it's 8 years. In that period of time, I think that, for instance, in the very beginning, if you will, a number of ag organizations came together here in Colorado, known then and today as the Colorado Ag Producers Alliance. Shortly after the formation of that group, they became part of the Colorado Monitoring Framework, which is an entity comprised pretty much of municipal wastewater dischargers. We felt that by aligning ourselves with them, although they are a point source and under mandatory controls today, that we could leverage some of what we do as agriculturalists in maybe demonstrating over the long term that agriculture can be part of the solution to this problem and not solely itself the problem. And to explain that a little bit further, dischargers, although they are now mandated to start cleaning up their wastewater and releasing fewer nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, that for those that do get released, as they make their way in this case, let's say down the South Platte River, there are a number of ditches and reservoirs that divert water from the river into a canal or into a reservoir. But ultimately, that water gets supplied to farmland, and in so doing, whatever that crop is that happens to be growing there at that time, takes the nutrients out of the water. So coming back again, we think that we can demonstrate long term that we're more a part of the solution than we are the problem. Other organizations, and specifically the one of which you are the executive officer, the Colorado Ag Water Alliance, I think it would be fair to say, Greg, that initially probably CAWA, to use an acronym there, focused on water quantity, but over time, as demonstrated here by our conversation this morning, there is a growing interest within that group about addressing Reg 85 and what ag can do to be involved and engaged there. The Water Quality Control Commission obviously will make the ultimate decision. We have made a couple of three appearances in front of that group over the years to demonstrate or talk to them about what we are doing and the challenges that we are facing. CSU has been a huge ally in this effort, and we've been very fortunate to have a land grant institution here with the reputation that they do, and a number of people there are involved in helping ag solve some of the nutrient pollution problems. And then there's been, through various entities, some grants that have been awarded to help demonstrate the effectiveness of best management practices and helping ultimately reduce the discharge of nitrogen and phosphorus.
Okay, this is Greg Peterson with the Colorado Ag Water Alliance, and I'm back with Bill Hamrick of the Colorado Livestock Association, and we're going to continue the second half of our discussion on Regulation 85 and agriculture. I know that in my conversations with producers, one of the questions that always comes up a lot is, well, let's just say the state does decide to regulate non-point source nutrients in agriculture. What would that even look like?
Greg, I think that is a very challenging question, okay? And probably to adequately answer that is I need to be honest, that's well above my pay grade. Mm-hmm. I think if we're going to, I don't know what that looks like when it comes to regulating agriculture per se or specifically. We have so many different entities, and you know, just again, there are still those that are using flood irrigation. There are those that have adopted the pivot sprinklers, if you will, where you probably do have less runoff. I think ultimately, and I won't be the one that will make this decision, but I think rather than focusing on any one source, either point or non-point source, along a drainage or a waterway, I think it will be looked at in more of a watershed approach. So in using that approach to reducing the amount of nitrogen and phosphorus, I think the controlling agencies will look at all sources, and everybody will be challenged to make certain reductions or mitigating their contribution to the overall problem. I didn't mean to duck your question there, but that would be my answer.
No, that's a good answer. And in a way, it connects to what you said earlier about agriculture being part of the solution, without having any regulations, that if we took a watershed approach, I'd assume that certain investments in an agricultural much less expensive than investments in a wastewater treatment.
You know, Greg, kind of a piece to that, As I understand it, the municipal dischargers have a very robust monitoring program, and unfortunately, water quality data using the monitoring approach has been difficult, if not almost impossible, to obtain. And I would be hopeful that over time, for those entities, be they individual producers or perhaps a reservoir or ditch companies, would be maybe a little more willing to provide some of that monitoring data so that we can get a sense and a feel of is ag truly part of the solution. As the water makes its way out of this state, and for those who may not know, you know, Colorado is a headwater state. Every drop of water that is produced here one way or the other flows out and nothing flows in. And so I think long term, if we can get some monitoring data, I think I'm going to be optimistic that we can demonstrate as the water makes its way down the stream, if you will, on its way to whatever state it's going to, that we are showing probably a couple of things, that the dischargers, the point source dischargers, are making strides in reducing phosphorus and nitrogen, but also for that is released, that is, it makes its way downstream and specifically onto agricultural ground, that we too are part of helping clean that up in a different way.
No, that's a very good point. So you mentioned sharing data of ditch companies, private agricultural operations. Are there any other actions that the agricultural community can take to show the rest of Colorado what improvements we have been making?
This might sound at this point oversimplistic, but Greg, I think, obviously as the executive officer of the Colorado Livestock Association, we have an interest in making sure that agriculture is not regulated under this regulation. And I can speak to it, but I really think that the producer, the boots on the ground farmer, if you will, is much more credible. I mean, that individual, he or she is living in that world every day, knows the challenges firsthand, what they are. And I would encourage producers to be willing to step forward and engage. As point in case here, on October 13th, I believe it is, the Water Quality Control Commission is going to meet and discuss this. And I think it would be fantastic, if time allows, to get some real-life producers, if you will, to speak within the 3 to 5 minutes allowed to the commission and share with them what they're doing and why they do it. I know that some people may not connect or agree or understand this, but farmers don't do things that cost them money. So it is in their economic best interest to apply nutrients at an agronomic rate. It is in their economic best interest to use their water wisely. As more and more demand, and I'm kind of shifting over here to quantity, you know, as we become, as agriculturalists, concerned about the future of our water, if you will, and I say that in quotes, you know, we don't want to waste a drop of that. Every drop has to go to producing some type of a crop. And I think that maybe if a producer would be willing to share that, it might have a little more credibility coming from them than it would from me. So I'd say get involved, get engaged. I would encourage people to get themselves informed, and they can go to the CDPHE website. You can call up Reg 85, Google it, and there's not many pictures in there, so it's a rather boring read, okay? but take a look at that and try to help yourself understand better what the implications of a mandatory regulation might be and how it might personally affect your operation. Reach out to your local extension people and share with them some of the things you're doing. Get some feedback from them. Your crop consultant, If you don't have one, it might behoove you long-term to at least on somewhat of a limited basis to sit down with one of them, lay out your plan, kind of find out what you're doing and see if there's places that you can make changes, whether it's an adoption of a BMP that you weren't aware of or you haven't implemented for whatever reason it may be. CSU, again, a great resource there, and perhaps even some things from other states. So I think that if you go to, and Greg, I can read this off, but I would encourage people to go look at Coag Nutrients. I think if you probably Google that, they've got some great information on that website there that talks about Reg 85, talks about BMPs, speaks to what mandatory might look like. So I guess bottom line, don't be afraid to get engaged and get yourself informed.
Yes, and so that website, it's coagnutrients.colostate.edu.
Thank you.
Well, that answers all my questions. Thank you, Bill. I really appreciate your time. Is there any other thoughts you want to leave us with?
Greg, I think that probably for the uninformed, if you will, that agriculture, be it livestock or crops, and to me, Reg 85 is more about crops, about farming, than perhaps about livestock, but we're all in this together. We're very dependent on cropping agriculture here in the state of Colorado for our feedstuffs. And whether we are livestock operators or cropping farmers, we are good stewards of the land. It does not behoove us to trash the environment that we operate in. So I know that's hard for some folks to understand, but I guess I would extend this. If there is anyone who hears this that would like to go visit either a farm or a livestock operation, I, for one, would be willing to help arrange a visit of that nature. Might be a little difficult at this time with the virus that we're operating with, but long term, if others would like to get themselves informed who are not familiar with the farm or the ranch, please let me know and we'll try to accommodate their interest in finding out more.
Well, thank you so much for that invitation. And I'm sure all of our listeners really appreciate everything they've heard today. So thank you.
You bet. Thank you.